day by day by day. You seen that movie, Meet the Parents? Crazy. Man, there are so many scenes like that in movies, prayers, awkward prayers. I'm so glad you've come to Athens Church. Some of you have been around here for a while. Some might be here for the first time. We're in a series. This is week two of the series called Prayers Up. And my name's John, and I have the privilege of talking this week, and then Sean's going to wrap it up next week. But so glad you guys came. And one of the reasons why we're doing this series on Prayers Up is because we need a lot of work in this. We're not coming last week or today or next week. We're not coming as the experts on prayer. We want to get better at this idea of saying some prayers together. Sean last week introduced Prayers Up with this idea of that prayer is a conversation and not a presentation. I love it that he set up this whole series that when we start thinking about prayer and Prayers Up, that this is going to be a conversation with God, not necessarily a presentation. And, you know, when you think about a conversation with God, when you think about a conversation with another person and not just a presentation, I want to ask you a couple of questions because a conversation comes out of a relationship. I want you just for a couple of minutes to be thinking about what is your best relationship on earth? Okay, for some of you, it might be your husband, it could be your wife, it could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, hopefully those aren't necessarily, you know what I'm saying. That's for you dating people. What about, it could be a mother, it could be a father, but I want you to think about the relationship on earth and just the best one that comes to your mind. And the other question that I want to ask you about this best relationship is, what makes it this way? When you think about the best relationship that you have on earth, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, what is it? What are some of the qualities that make it that way? Now, I don't know if at Athens Church you necessarily participate with the speaker, so I'm just going to talk to the front row people, all you courageous people to get up front. Tell me just some characteristics or qualities of a really good relationship on the earth. Anybody? What is it? Communication, so that there's communication going back and forth. Man, we could spend the whole morning just on the idea of communication. A really good relationship has communication, whether you know this or not. There's six parts to communication. It's what I think, it's what I say, it's what you hear, it's what you think, it's what you say, it's what I hear. Man, communication can get blown in any one of those six places. What's another characteristic of a really good relationship? What is it? Sacrifice. Sacrifice, that's a big idea. You know, one of the reasons that we love God and we love Jesus is that he sacrificed himself for us. We love him because he first loved us. John writes about it in the back of the Bible. Give me one or two more. What's really good about a relationship on the earth over here? Being what? Being open. My wife Debbie and I talked about that one time at Athens Church, the idea about being wide open with one another, but if you're going to be open with one another, you know that you have to be safe, right? Remember that? I have no idea when we did that, but, and by the way, if you're new to Athens Church, some of you people that have heard me at Athens Church, Sean told me to tell you this between the 9 and the 11. He said, hey, be sure to tell them about your angry face. So some of you know, like when I get excited, apparently this is my face. And so I just want to tell you today, if you're new, I'm not angry. I'm just really, really excited. And the other thing, it's really hard to talk like this for 30 minutes. So, hey, I want to talk about Prayers Up. So give me a little bit of space. Well, so for me, when I think about one of the best relationships I have presently on the earth is with my wife, Debbie. You're going to meet her in just a couple of minutes. And what makes a really good relationship on the earth to me is what I would call mutuality or reciprocal or balanced. When you think about a good relationship on the earth, the best relationships that I have on the earth are those where there's a balance between talking and listening. Now, I would suspect that if you're anything like me on this, I don't really like relationships where somebody's talking to me 90% of the time, right? Or if I feel like I have to talk 90% of the time, I don't really like those kind of relationships. But I love the relationships that have a balance of talking and listening. Just think about a 50% balance, mutual, in your communication and your openness with one another. Now, if this is true on earthly relationships, and I get it, with a man or a woman or a friend, you know, you can see them, you can feel their body language, you can do all that, and with God, it's a little bit different. But when you shift that now to a heavenly relationship, or to our relationship with God through His Son Jesus, what would you say is the balance of your conversation with Him? I've done this enough, I've been around this enough, I've surveyed enough people to know that most people, when they think of prayers up, if you surveyed them, they would say they're talking 90% of the time. So maybe the only idea that you might take away from these 30 minutes is, wow, maybe I need to do a little more listening in my conversation with God. Maybe I need to sort of shift the balance here from talking 90% to maybe listening halfway. Because the God that made the heavens and the earth, and the God who made you and me, that God who Christians call God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, that God is always communicating to us. And if we would know the ways that He's communicating, we would see this balance in a relationship. One of the ways that He's communicating is what I call in the big ways. Any of you all see the supermoon this last week? I said in the 9 o'clock service, do we have any mooners? But they edited that out. That's not the right phrase. I didn't mean that. I meant super mooners, super moon watchers, whatever. Did you see it Tuesday night? It was amazing, wasn't it? Like, man, I was waiting for the eve of November the 14th because the next one's not coming until 2034. I'm one of those guys that just loves the precision of the earth and the moon and the tides and all sunrise and sunset, all that kind of stuff. I love it. And the Bible says through one of the writers in the Bible, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, he says that the God that made the heavens and the earth, when you look up and you see a supermoon or you see the sun or a sunset or a sunrise, you see the fall leaves that everybody's posting on Facebook, when you see the beauty of the seasons, when you see these things, all of these things are communicating, as Paul says, His eternal power in His divine nature. Something in you and something in me, when we look up, it's like, wow, who is this? What is this? Who made all of this? And when we look up more than we look down, a lot of people today, they're walking around. Just check people in the airport. Just check people in our culture today. Everybody's looking down here, getting all kinds of noise coming, looking down. Look up and be amazed by a God who says, I'm much bigger than you and your story, and I want to relate to you. I love you. I made this for my glory, and I made it for your enjoyment. Look up at this. Another way that God communicates is in the small things. Can you see? Look at the scale of this, okay? This is just the tip of a guy's finger. This is called a fairy fly. You ever heard of a fairy fly? I called Sean and his team. I said, can you get a picture of the smallest flying insect that you can find? They found me this fairy fly. The reason why is I had my phone. This past week on Tuesday, I had a lunch meeting, came out of the lunch meeting, had a couple of action items, and my habit is I get in the car, I try to take care of that action immediately. So I have my phone, and my car's running, just started my car, and I'm starting to take care of the action, in the smallest flying insect I've seen in my life lands on my phone. To the point in the car, I don't see real well with my glasses on. I don't know if that's near or far vision. I had to take my phone like this. I'm looking at this thing like this. You with me? You ever done that? And while I'm looking at this thing in my car, I hope nobody was next to me like, what's that dude doing? This thought comes to my mind. And I don't know what you think or believe about hearing God or hearing his voice or how he speaks, but my present view is that he communicates through our thoughts, random thoughts that come into our minds. And as I'm looking at the smallest thing there, this thought comes to my head. I see and I care about the smallest things. It was amazing. Now, that may or may not mean much to you as much as it meant to me. I don't have the time to go into this morning, but this year, 2016, has been the hardest year of my life. I'm 62, been married 41 years, and my wife Debbie and I, this is the hardest year of our lives. Our firstborn son, David, in February of 2014, he and his wife gave birth to a little girl named Olivia, and she died. So we went out, we buried Olivia in February of 2014, and their marriage got really shaky. You've heard about this through the death of a child, and they ended up separating this year in January. And while they were separated, they had another little boy. His name was Courage. Courage was down in Florida, got outside, got through a sliding glass door, and fell in their back pool and drowned. So he buried his second child, our second grandson, in 2 years. And the marriage isn't making it. There's all the divorce, parental alienation, false accusation, malicious stuff. It's awful. I've never been through it. And I've wondered, God, do you see this? And while I'm looking at this silly fairy fly, God says, I see and I care about the smallest things in your life. Look at this just for 1 second, then we'll move on. Look at that. The United States Air Force can't design that. And God gives us that. Now, I know some of you are still back on my story. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But when we talk about a conversation with God, talking and listening, pay attention to the big things. Pay attention to the little things. And I'm aware that having a conversation with God for a bunch of people in this room, this is not an easy thing. This is a difficult thing. It's difficult for a bunch of reasons. Why is it difficult for some in the room to have a conversation with God is we don't know how. Man, who am I talking to? Anybody up there listening? Where are you? We don't believe it. Some of you are still at that place like you really don't believe that there's a personal God who made you and cares about you. You just don't believe it. I'm glad you're here. You're researching this. You're on a journey, perhaps of faith. Some don't understand it. I'm 48 years into a relationship with Jesus, and there's a ton about prayers up that I don't understand. That's why I'm glad we're talking about it today. I want to understand more. Some of you here, you don't want God's will or way. Man, you don't want to talk to God. You don't want to listen to God. Because you don't want his will. You remember Jesus when he was in the garden? Just before he dies, just before he's crucified, he said, Father, if it's possible for this cup of death, if it's possible for this cup of the cross to pass from me, is there another way for me to pay for the sin of the world without going through this cross? He said, please let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And so some of you find it difficult because God, you know what it is. As I'm talking about this morning, God's saying, I want you to open your hands. And I want you to surrender your will to mine. There's a couple other reasons that we find it difficult. Some are mad and disappointed with God. You don't want to talk to God. April the 10th, Sunday night at the Masters, when Jordan Spieth has his meltdown at hole 12, Amen Corner, we get the call that Courage fell in the pool and drowned. Have I been mad? Disappointed? No child should bury a child. No child should bury two children. Have I had conversations with God? Yeah. God, why is it that you permitted something that you could have prevented? Why him? And I haven't talked to him for a while because I've been ticked. Some of you are there. But the last one is it was never modeled for us. Nobody really knows, like, how do I do this? It's never been modeled. And what I want to do just in the remaining minutes of our time is I want to talk a little bit about my journey, and I want to tell you something that was modeled for me 50 years ago. It's kind of reminded me how old I am, but what I'm getting ready to tell you in the next couple of minutes is something that I saw with my own eyes. It was modeled before me. It marked me, and it's continued with me so far in this life. Now, I'm like some of you. Remember my first decade of life, 0 to 11, I grew up in Miami, Florida. You might have seen on the video. And my mother took us to church. My father was in business. He was with Metropolitan Life Insurance, and he worked hard all week, and he stayed home reading the Miami Herald. And Mom would say, okay, kids, time to go to church. And I'm wondering, well, how come Dad's not going? I want to stay here and read the paper with Dad. And the only prayers I knew from 0 to 11 were, now I lay me down to sleep. Can you guys finish that? Now I lay me down to sleep. So you had a background like mine. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. But I had a second prayer from 0 to 11. At the dinner table, my mother would pray, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. Some of you guys are praying that now. Go, what's wrong with that? Nothing. That could be a... That's all I knew from 0 to 11. But something happened at 11. We moved to London, England. My dad dropped out of high school, and he became driven like the wind, and he heard that he could make a lot of money in the insurance business. So he signed up for Metropolitan Life Insurance, and he worked really, really hard. He became the number one insurance agent out of 30,000 men. So he was picked from Miami to open up the American executive market in London. An amazing man, an amazing story, a lot of brokenness in it, a lot of drivenness in it. But a defining moment happened when I was 12. My dad, who was 40 at the time, some of you are 40, and some of you have 12-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 8-year-olds in your house. So at that time, at 40, my dad believed in Jesus. My dad, he was the captain of his own industry, the master of his own soul, you know, his own destiny, all that kind of stuff. And he got to the top of the ladder in Metropolitan Life, and his heart and his soul were dry. It was empty. And he said, God, if you're there, Jesus, if you're real, come into my life and take over my life. And that's where some of you guys are today. But when Jesus came into my father's life, he came into his marriage, he came into our family. And my dad, who was like going this way, and just, you know, we were traveling the world, London, Rome, Paris, all that kind of stuff. He wanted to see the world. He's going like that. Next thing I know, Jesus comes into his life. He does an about face. And it's like, okay, I'm no longer king. I'm no longer in control. So what I noticed as a 12-year-old, and this was the defining moment, my dad, big old 6'5" guy, I'm walking by my parents' master bedroom one night, and I just peek in, and what do I see is my big 6'5" father on his knees next to my mom, and I'm watching both of them praying together. I'd never seen it before 12 years old. And that whole thing, it's like, wow, what is that? So I guess a man becomes a Christian And he starts to pray to God, and he starts praying with his wife. And then right after he started praying with my mom, he got my older sister, my younger sister. We were 13, 12, and 10. And he got us all around the bed on Sunday nights, and we'd all just kneel together. So I grew up in this time learning this big idea. Here's the idea that we're talking about today, is I learned that praying together out loud on a regular basis was a normal thing. I thought it was normal. I saw it. It was modeled for me. Half of you don't have that. Half of you don't have dads in your house to even model this. But I saw my father praying together with my mom out loud on a regular basis. It marked me as a 12-year-old. Now, this idea is all throughout the scriptures, but one place that it's found, some of you that study the Bible in Acts chapter 2, when the church was coming together, one of the reasons when they came together and they all started coming to faith, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Four reasons when the church gathered. It's four reasons that Athens church should gather as well. For a level of teaching, for some fellowship, hey, let's do this together, for the breaking of bread, either in meal or in communion, but let's pray together. Let's pray together out loud on a regular basis. This is what we mean by prayers up. So I thought this was normal. This was modeled to me. So I brought it into my relationship with Debbie. Debbie and I met in college, and I want to invite my wife. She's somewhere. I think she's back there. Come on out. Come on. This is my wife, Debbie Woodall. Same thing. Welcome.
Thank you. Same thing
happened at the 9. She got an applause. I didn't. I don't know what that is, but welcome. I'm glad you're here. I figured that we could talk about our journey. So 41, 42 years, we met in college.
Yes, we did.
We were dating. We were dating in college in our junior year. Got married between our junior and senior year in college. And so, because I saw my father do this, I thought, well, this is what Christian men do. They pray together with their girlfriend or their wife, with their kids. So we started dating, and I would say, let's pray together. But one phrase after we would pray together, I would always say, let's pray and go.
Yes,
I don't think you like that. You want to talk about
that? No, I really like the fact that we prayed together, but I didn't like that we had to pray and go. And so I was really excited to know that once we got married, we didn't have to do the go part.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we changed the language when we got married from let's pray and go to let's pray and get it on and play a little. Did we ever play that?
I asked
Sean if he could play that.
No.
Little get. That's my get it on dance.
Okay. Get on with it.
No. Actually, Your lead pastor, Sean C., wanted me to name this talk, Prayers That Lead to Great Sex. But I said, Sean, I'm a Christian. I can't say that.
Right.
No, so we just thought it was normal, you know. And I'm not saying that we did it every date, but I think there was, we wanted God involved in the relationship. So we would pray together out loud and did it on a fairly regular basis. And then we got married in June of 1975, mm-hmm. And that was an exciting day, because before Debbie and I came together physically, again, because I saw this, you know, with my dad, I just thought, well, I think we're supposed to pray and just kind of give our marriage to God. Like, here we are, we're in our 20s in college, what do we know about marriage? And somebody had told me Psalm 127:1, that says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. And I took them serious as a 21-year-old. And I said, God, I don't know how to build this house. There's others of you here this morning. The only thing you need to hear going out here today is you can't build your marriage. You can't build your house. I don't care how gifted you are as a man or a woman. You can't do it. God wants to be in the center of it. And on night one, before we came together, it's like, God, would you please help us? We're just a couple of kids wanting to have some fun here tonight and, you know, be happy and live happily ever after. How did you see it?
Well, I'm just really grateful that we even started in our dating time to be praying together. And it's basically, you know, we both thought I think we believe that there is a God. And as John said, it was modeled for him, so he modeled it for me, and we would talk to the Lord and talk to one another. In our marriage is never, you know, I should say for us, it's not easy.
No.
And even 41 years later, you know, one of the things that's really been helpful in our marriage is that we pray together. And, you know, it's something that we do that helps us to connect. You know, one of the things that I like about it is I can connect to the Lord and I can connect with John. It's one of the few times sometimes that I get his full attention, and we can talk and I can hear what's on his heart and he can hear what's on mine, and it's very meaningful.
So this idea of praying together out loud on a regular basis, like when you think about the human being, male or female, being made in God's image, you and I were made with a spirit, a soul, and a body. And so the spirit part of you and me is that that connects to God. The soul is what we think, what we feel, and the choices that we make. And then the body, we're, a lot of us are in touch with body. We're body kind of people. And we just notice that when there is this spiritual connection where we're praying together out loud, when there's a soul connection, that we kind of hear what's on one another's minds and what's in our hearts and the choices that we make, I'm not kidding you, man. It leads to intimacy and connection in just the way that God designed it. So this is a huge idea of praying together out loud on a regular basis for you that are married, for you guys that are dating and wanting to grow that relationship with that man or with that woman. But then our family came. So we got married in 75. Our firstborn was born 7/7/77 at 7:43 p.m.
Yes.
Yeah, imagine that, huh? So they came real fast. We had them 77, 78, 79, 81. We figured out, so we stopped. Stopped having kids. We stopped having kids. When the kids came, again, because this was modeled for me, I remember at 12 and 13 and 14, my dad saying, okay, everybody, let's kneel. Let's get around the bed. What's going on this week? Let's pray about these things. And so when my kids started growing up, and we didn't do it every Sunday, but a bunch of Sunday nights, we would get them together and start praying. What was that like?
Well, I don't know how many of you guys have little kids, but as you know, it's always such a treat to get them in bed.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we would do and made it fun was we would get around the bed, and we'd, you know, teach the kids about it's. We tried to make it normal for them that we talk to God, just like we talk to one another. And so what we would do is we would say, John would come up with, okay, well, you pray for the sibling, your brother or sister on your right, or sometimes it was the left, and they would position each other, you know. But it was a way for us to communicate to the children that we believe in God and prayer is part of growing up in a Christian home.
And it believe me, what we're talking about, there were many nights that it wouldn't go well.
It was more fun for me.
Huh?
It was more fun for me.
Oh, you call that fun? No, it wasn't fun for me at all. But so we would have these nights, like we have the three boys and the girl, and the youngest brother liked his oldest brother the best. And so we would go, pray for the one on your left. And then one of them would start complaining, like, I don't want to pray for Mike. I want to pray for David. And it's like, you, go to your room. You're not praying with us. And then, I'd send him, you're not praying with us. Stop the complaining. And then the other siblings would go, oh, Dad, you know, you shouldn't be. Like, hey, why don't you, okay, prayer time's over. Canceled. Nobody's praying. I'd get up and I'd walk out. True? Yeah. On occasion.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is don't let us fool you and think that this is some Christian couple that's been married for a while and they live happily ever after. I told you a little bit of what our year has been like. You talk about praying together out loud on a regular basis. This year, man, it's been hard to pray together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But it's been what's been getting us through.
Yeah, I would say that, man. You have any story that's similar to ours. I can't even imagine not praying together out loud on a regular basis, just saying, God, help us in these kinds of things. Now, as we land this plane, Anything else you want to say on this topic? I know you got a ton you want to say. You sure?
Positive.
Okay, well then I'll wrap up. I want to talk about this idea of what's called the four-minute prayer. Just give you a very practical thing for the next 7 days, okay? I'm not asking you for the next 7 years, 7 weeks, next 7 days. It's called a four-minute prayer, and here's what it is, and here's how it works. Debbie and I have tried everything around this praying together out loud on a regular basis. We've tried the morning prayers. We've tried the dinner prayers. We've tried the evening prayers. And we've had to work through the highs and lows of that. There's going to be a ton of time that you don't want to do it. Press through that. Guys, your wife is going to say something to you. It's going to tick you off. She's going to poke at one of your wounds, like you're not spiritual enough, or you're not strong enough, or you're not here enough. And man, you're going to back away just like me. Like, don't be poking around wounds in me, because my claws come out. So do they with every guy in here who feels like I'm not enough. So this four-minute prayer idea is this. Like, I have my routines. I get up early. I love to read the Bible. I take notes about the Bible. Debbie gives me time and space. She's getting up. She's getting ready. She's doing her thing. I'm in my space, and she's doing her face. Huh? That just came to my mind. You might have to want to edit
that
one. But so I get in the car. I have my headset on. I drive down 400 to go to work at North Point. And I'll call Deb, and I'll say, hey, are you at a place where you can pray? And she'll say, hang on a second. Let me get my coffee. Let me get by the fire. Let me call you right back. But we get to a place that when I'm driving down, I'll say to her, do you want to start or do you want me to? We don't do the prayer request thing. Hey, what's on your mind? What are you praying about today? That's a waste of time. Because when you pray together, you're going to hear what's on one another's mind. And so she'll sometimes say, I'll go first. So she prays whatever's on her mind. We prayed a lot for David and his family and hoping to see his living sons someday. You know, we pray about these things all the time. And then when she's done, then I'll pray about my meetings or things that are on my mind. And I'm telling you something, our praying together out loud on a regular basis is less than 4 minutes. Sometimes somebody gets an impression like, hey, you should pray together out loud on a regular basis, and you think you got to go through all the nations of the world. You got to go through all of your kids, sports teams and all the people that have offended you in your family that you still hate and that hate you. I know what you're talking about. I have those people. But we just do a four-minute prayer. Now let me say this in closing. I have enough awareness that we've come up here as a man and as a couple that has been married for a while. We have kids, we have grandkids. And that's our story of praying together out loud on a regular basis. But that's not the story of half the people in this room. Half of you are single. You want a man. You want a woman. You want a relationship. You guys that are dating, the woman that you're dating from here in Athens Church or coming to Athens Church, she wants you to lead her in prayer. She wants you to initiate a conversation with God. She wants that. Ladies, if a guy is not bringing some sense of spiritual activity or conversation with a God, I would just say be careful. Pay more attention to that. You can find that a lot. Some of you are parents, not everybody's parents, and some of you are married. Parents, some of you are single parents. Man, my heart aches for the single parent, whether you're a single mom or a single dad. If your children are young like I was when my father modeled this, maybe tonight, just a four-minute prayer. Hey, buddy, let's pray. Let's pray together out loud. Let's try it. Let's do it for 7 days. You pray, I'll pray. Just try it. Some of you are small group leaders here at Athens Church. Can I beg you of something? Can you pray together out loud on a regular basis at your small group? Please don't make it just an introduction and a tag on at the end. Okay, somebody pray. God loves you, and he wants a relationship and a conversation. Talk to him. Figure out ways that you can listen to him together as a small group. Athens church staff and leaders and volunteers, pray together on a regular basis. Don't rely just on your talent. Don't rely on these lights and, you know, camera in action. Don't start relying on that. Pray together out loud on a regular basis. Why is this? God made you and me for a relationship, a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we've said, as we started the series and we'll close, that prayer is a conversation. It's not a presentation. Talk to him 50%. Listen to him 50%. Look up and pay attention to the big things. Look down and see the little things. Open up your Bible and listen to him speak to you from his word. He wants this kind of relationship and communication and conversation. That's what Prayers Up is all about. And I'll leave you with this amazing gesture of hashtag prayers up. Somebody taught me that this morning. I hope you think that's as corny as I do, but go ahead. Hashtag prayers up. It will change your heart, your marriage, your family, this church, and this city. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for Sean and his team and for putting it on his heart to talk about this idea of prayer, a conversation with you. Thank you for the time and the space for us to think about this. This hour has found all of these people in a different place and space with you. But I pray there's one idea. There's a couple ideas that have just lodged into their hearts, their soul, that would change their relationship and their conversation with you. Thank you for this time for us to talk about it. We love you. We thank you for loving us the way that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great Thanksgiving. Eat a lot of food. Just don't worry about it. Prayers up. See you next week for part 3.